things happen to people who listen to radio.
Once we understand the bug, we will defeat it.
Are you ready for
the only good bug is a dead bug.
Shoot a nuke down a bug hole, you got a lot of dead bugs. All right?
Some say that a live and let live policy is preferable to war with the bugs.
I say kill them all. Yeah.
Put it on and leave it on.
Welcome to Bug Radio, boys and girls. In possibly the cruelest twist yet, it turns out you will have to see your family this Christmas. But it's all right, because we'll be there to hold your claws with a Bug Radio Christmas special. Watch out for that. We're on the phone to Iowa with our US apocalypse correspondent. And what's a tin hat moron to do? Now the tangerine shitlord has fucked off to the golf course for good. We're up on iTunes, Spotify and Threads Radio. That's threadsradio.com. And you can follow us on @BugRadio2020 on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a click, give us a five-star review. To spit out my brew in disgust, I'm joined as always by the Lewisham Lounge Lizard, Mr. Kieran Moggs-Kaufman. How's the plague treating you?
Yeah, still just racking up the miles on the stationary bicycle, taking long walks around Crystal Palace with the submerged dinosaurs. They've been around for a century now. Just keep getting better, really. What's new with you?
Yeah, I mean, literally nothing except work. I've had a couple of days off, so I've just like jumped in the car and gone like exploring all of the villages and weird spots near me to try and find my favourite ones and like find some like interesting pubs and stuff for when people start coming to visit again. I've done pretty much the whole of the Kent Riviera, like Margate, Broadstairs and Deal and everything. It's been good.
Oh, yeah? So you're sort of creeping around in a car like Travis Bickle, just one day a real rain's going to come.
That's right.
Nice. I'm jealous. I'd like to be breezing around on some non-stationary wheels. But stationary bicycles are actually the shit because you can just like watch football or Mangrove or whatever and just like be racking up the miles. You don't even have to feel guilty about just like just watching screens. Okay, so what's going on? Lockdown 2 is ending if you trust the government. And we sometimes trust the government, not on everything, but on more than some nonsense mongers doing protests. They say like they don't believe the government on everything. We believe the government on some things. And one thing they're saying is that as of next Wednesday, the lockdown is to be replaced by the tiers. The tiers are back. It's unclear at the time of recording who's in what tier. But Kent is going to pieces, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, across the country, infections have broadly been coming down. But in Kent, where I live, they're going to the moon. And Swale, which is just up the road from here, includes Faversham, Sittingbourne and the Isle of Sheppey, is now the UK's number one bug hotspot, which is very rare for somewhere in the southeast. And according to the leader of Swale Council, there's been an unusually low level of compliance with the rules. Because during the first lockdown, they just locked off the bridge to the Isle of Sheppey because there's only one bridge to Sheppey and they just quarantined them, basically. But this go round, nobody gives a fuck anymore. Like, there was at least one rave on the beach at Laysdown the other day where two people got stabbed. And also, Swale and the Medway area are two of the most deprived areas of the whole country. There's loads of like really, really cramped housing that's mainly occupied by people who can't work from home. I've been on loads of walks around there and it's just this fascinatingly ghostly place. Last season on the show, we wondered whether someone could be so disconnected from the news that they could still not realise that there was a pandemic on. And if there are people like that, it's very possible that at least one or two of them live up there.
Yeah, I can't remember what the comparison was. Oh yeah, it was about Donald Trump, and like this is for later in the show, really. But just quickly, it was suggested that the analogy was made between Republicans who don't accept the result of the election and a famous Japanese soldier who never knew that World War II had ended and so remained on this Pacific island until the late 70s, still convinced that it was ongoing. So it could be much the same for these people in your area. So what's going to happen? Gyms are opening. Like, that seems really reckless because they're just full of sweat and intermingling. For the first time, football matches could have crowds to an extent, although, again, that seems perplexing because a stadium with 60,000 people could potentially have 4,000 people in it, as
that's,
could
well, that's it. Only in tier one, it's maximum of 4,000, and in tier two, it's maximum of 2,000.
Yeah, but it's not proportional to the size of the stadium. So a stadium that holds 10,000 could also have 4,000. And also there's some suggestion that people wouldn't be allowed to shout or sing or drink, which is like 90% of the experience. So although people can like insert gag about football clubs that don't have very good fans.
Yeah, thanks for that.
That was at nobody's expense. And once again, it seems like pubs are getting the fuzzy end of the lollipop. They suffer more severe restrictions. They've got to pretend to give you a meal. They've got these bullshit curfews at 10 o'clock that don't make any sense. They're not going to work, really. Pubs aren't really going to work with this system. Also, they're going to be excluded from the armistice over Christmas from the 23rd to the 27th. So... up to three households can mingle indoors or outdoors, but not at the pub.
Well, I mean, you could see how people, if people were at the pub, you can see that if people got really, really picked, which, I mean, if you just open pubs for like 5 days, people are going to get wankered. I mean, it's so sad that what's happening to pubs, but I can kind of sort of see the logic.
I was just reading a collection of accounts from partygoers in New York talking about illicit parties they've been to. Like one thing they all talk about is like this pervasive sense of relief combined with guilt. So it's tremendously cathartic to be able to be in a crowd and to be not just like trapped in your lair all day, every day. And some of them fetched up at quite interesting places, like under bridges and sort of abandoned industrial districts. And in one case, and this is disputed by legal people, the apartment of former Uber CEO Travis Kalanick, who was hosting a kind of adult party.
One person said, it's quite worrying that, I mean, even though people possibly turn up at these things with the best of intentions in terms of like, trying not to spread the virus, but I can't remember who it was, but there's one person who said the sort of people who are out downtown after hours are just not the sort of people who have COVID on their minds. I thought at the beginning of lockdown that people were never going to share keys of Coke ever again, but that was not the case. Also, apparently our government says there's going to be no penalties for any infringements of any sort over the Christmas period, presumably because all the police will be doing Christmas as well. So I'd imagine there's going to be some pretty big shibboleths going off around that sort of time.
And then this could lead to a kind of truce between the underground party scene and the constabulary. I mean, I'm just reading...
A bit like the football game in World War One.
Yeah, which Johnson, the Prime Minister, I refuse to just call him like Chummerly by his first name. Everyone fucking does that. He was like, oh yeah, the virus won't... it won't sign up to a truce, ha ha ha. Well, we're not going to steal your joke, Johnson. We had that one before you. But at least this will create a truce between the police and the underground party organisers. I'm looking at a headline on Wales Online. 700 people hold party and attack police called to break it up. Sounds like the police attacked them, but nonetheless, a hairy incident. An article by a brother's friend, actually, talking about how a party in Bristol was broken up by police with dogs that then attacked a young woman, and she needed reconstructive surgery on her leg for the damage caused by the dog. And a lot of people are quite fairly pointing out that it's unreasonable to release sort of war dogs on unsuspecting intoxicated ravers. And then, I mean, at the more sort of, I suppose, rarefied end of the scale, Nottingham hot tub party host didn't believe in COVID laws. A young man had around 17 people and sort of dipping in and out of a hot tub and was unconvinced by the gravity of the pandemic and expressed that through the hot tub.
Yeah, you know how it's always really annoying when people post like videos of car crashes saying, "This is the perfect metaphor for Brexit." But this lady's campaign is actually quite a good metaphor for Brexit. So there's this hairdresser in Oakenshaw near Bradford who's facing £17,000 worth of fines after refusing to close her salon by citing Magna Carta. So she says common law prohibits these restrictions on her. And apparently she was initially given a £1,000 fine for opening illegally, opened again citing Magna Carta, like stuck the note on the door. So the fine was increased to £2,000, opened again citing Magna Carta, so it's increased to £4,000, and so on and so on. And she's now on a £17,000 fine. So spare a thought.
Well, I suppose that must have, if it kept doubling, it could have got up to 16, and then they'd given her a bonus one of some kind.
I don't know how, I can't really work out how that's
That's my theory. That's how they arrived at 17. Because that is a cousin of this very entertaining genre of YouTube videos about so-called free men or free women of the land who don't think the law applies to them. So they get into arguments with the police and then say, you can't arrest me because I'm a freeman. And then there's ugly scenes when they're sort of dragged out of wherever, just totally surprised that this can happen. It seems that that's still a thing, and free people, Magna Carta files, going to keep going with this approach and see where it gets them. I wonder, before these new announcements, it was suggested that people might get a few days of mingling over Christmas at the expense of then a more severe lockdown afterwards. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's been formalised yet.
Yeah, because they won't actually know how much damage it's done for like a good week or so after NYE, won't they?
Yeah, people that want to exercise their own judgments rather than the government that's given us catastrophic failures at every stage, whether it's on testing, incentivising people to eat indoors with strangers. If they want to apply their own judgment, it might be worth looking at the case of America and Thanksgiving to see what sort of impact that has there.
Last little bit of worrying news. So health experts are already warning people to look out for fake vaccine scams. So apparently the ideal thing, certainly in England, is that the distribution of the vaccine is going to be publicly mediated to stop this, posh queue barging. So basically, if someone's offering you a vaccine for money just off the internet, the chances are it's bicarbon dishwasher powder. So if you want to get properly buzzing, just sit tight and wait for the super Iceman Robocop bit, courtesy of UK PLC.
So the government has introduced some relief measures that some people have called generous, but in a more traditionally Tory note, it's also suggested that now Rishi Sunak will cancel plans for a rise in the national minimum wage. So a kind of take with one hand what you give with the other.
And there's a public sector pay freeze as well.
Yeah.
For people who've been on the... Yeah.
And so anyone tempted to believe that this government has turned over a new leaf and that it believes in... trying to preserve people's like ability to live, basically, it's on a strictly temporary basis, and it's going to be trying to get as much of it back as possible through immiserating the population.
All the wrong people.
Yeah, wherever possible.
Now, more than ever, we need...
Radio. Commence blathering.
There's been a whole hoo-ha about how bad the messaging's been.
We think it's important to stay sane.
Radio.
Baby, let's go!
When the fuck is this going to end?
Just trying to find something properly weird.
We need to find whatever it takes to get through this rotten fucking plague.
Now it's my very great pleasure to introduce a dear friend and loyal supporter of Bug Radio from the heavily divided states of America, where all hell has been breaking loose for some time now. Ted Neeters, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just dandy here in the lovely Iowa.
What the metropolitan elite disparagingly refer to as flyover country, but what do they know? And I fudged a bit of your introduction. I was going to say Ted Neeters, ace photographer and consistent opponent of the bug, which is fits with our values as we are 100% anti-bug on this program. No accommodation whatsoever.
We have created full-fledged rebellion against the bug in Iowa.
I'm pleased to hear it. On the first series, we talked a bit about some of the issues you had with feeding your frogs in that the supply chain for their insects that they like to eat was disrupted. How are they doing now?
They've managed to survive. You know, at first they used to be fed once a week. Now we have learned they can be fed once every 3 weeks. Quite resilient creatures.
So they were just being greedy before.
You know, when you put the food in there, they just scarf it all down as quick as possible, shit it all out, and then starve for another 2 weeks.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about them so much. So where you are, Iowa, has some of the highest rates in America, which has some of the highest rates in the world. So as we're a very international show, we're always interested to hear from different parts of the world. So if you could give me a sense of the picture over there, is everyone freaking out? Is the whole place going to hell?
You know, people have quite got on with their lives here, and bug fatigue is full on in Iowa. Long ago, it seems people here mostly gave up on the bug and continued on. I think last week we were ranked 28th in the world for the highest COVID rates. You know, you can still go to the bar and get drunk. No problem.
I remember in the early days you were saying that the authorities didn't think it was such a big deal and weren't really discouraging people from going about their business, enjoying themselves, etc.
Yeah, it was quite partisan for a very long time here in Iowa. Actually, it was just 2 weeks ago that our governor decided it would be necessary to put some masks on after basically everyone in the state got the bug. She was busy running around, you know, at campaign rallies for that orange monster, maskless, hugging, and quite close to people. Well, you know, she left all of these rural hospitals to be overwhelmed with the consequences.
So give us a picture. How much of normal life is still ongoing?
Until 2 weeks ago, there were no rules here. That includes no mask mandates, you know, rules about bars, restaurants, or large gatherings even. You could have as large of a gathering as you like when President Trump came and had a campaign rally in October as our numbers were skyrocketing and 5,000 people were at the airport without masks. What we have done now is kind of create some sort of confusing system where if there's 25 people in a room together, they should be wearing masks. But if there's not 25, they don't have to wear masks. And you don't have to wear masks at church. But you do have to wear masks if you're at a bar and not at your seat now. And we have also decided to cancel lots of sporting events. But we have kept Disney on Ice open. So we will have Disney on Ice this weekend here in Des Moines.
Speaking of the president, I suppose soon to be former, maybe. He swept the great state of Iowa once again by a handy margin, and most of the other down ballot races too went to the Republicans. So you mentioned about the partisan skew in terms of how people respect or don't respect the pandemic. Do you have a lot of MAGA wearing fuckheads just sort of ruining it for everyone?
They are ruining it for everyone. We have some of the greatest Trump supporters in all of the country, which also include this gentleman by the name of Gary Leifler, who has a Trump tractor, of which he takes all over the country riding around his painted tractor and gets all sorts of Trump's cabinet members and various people, including like Don Jr. and Pompeo and Haley, the beautiful press secretary, to put their thumbs up and just, you know, look like Donald Trump on top of his tractor.
And what's the purpose of this? Just sort of getting everybody fired up?
This is like the Iowa thing to do. You have a Trump tractor, you drive it around the country, and you get people to pose for photographs with their thumbs up. This is the sort of people we're dealing with here in Iowa.
Governor Kim Reynolds a few months back said, no, I'm not going to mandate masks, describing it to do so as an unenforceable feel-good measure. I believe in Iowans, she said in September. But she doesn't anymore, because now she's taking away your liberties. She's stamping on your rights. She's now making these new impositions that you do have to wear masks. And is that it? Masks? Or?
Yeah, so Governor Kim Reynolds had the consistent message of having this thing that it seems every state in America has, which is, you know, saying your state's name and saying nice afterwards. So she went around forever saying that we'll be right and the Iowans will do the right thing and we'll be Iowa nice. And she continued that through the election. And then right after the election, she went out and said that Iowans voted on the pandemic and we choose to continue on with life, which was actually quite terrifying because of how high our rates were, our positivity rates at that point. Luckily enough, the next week she came in and implemented some mask mandates, not total mask mandates, of which, you know, people still rebel against, including bars and things that, you know, in rural parts of the state that don't follow the rules.
Some of our listeners might be familiar. There's been these very large, historic Black Lives Matter protests going on all around the world and surprisingly densely concentrated in Iowa. And you, as a photographer, have been mingling with them, have been taking pictures, very good pictures, which perhaps we can post on some of our feeds.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa has not seen any sort of protest movement of this sort of caliber since the 60s. The Black Liberation Movement here in Des Moines has established itself quite firmly as somebody who's going to be around in local politics for the foreseeable future. And, you know, they started off as a bunch of 18 to 25-year-olds, some who knew each other loosely, others who did not, and have formed quite a tight community and organization that's been what we could say enemy number one for the state of Iowa. They were even able to get a felon voter rights reinstated here, and we were the last state in the country who you were banned from voting again if you were a convicted felon.
Give us an idea of the scale and the consistency of some of these events, because I understand that they were sort of larger than anything that had been seen in a long time, and they kept going.
So it's likely one could assume that, you know, we did have some sort of lockdown here in Iowa, like most parts of America. We did go a little bit later. We're talking the March, you know, late March, early April, where we implemented some measures. And yeah, you could say the bug might have helped, you know, be some sort of kindling for the fire. And it popped off, and there were numbers here in our sleepy town of 500,000 people of, you know, over 1,000, consistently a few hundred. And they were basically framed as the domestic terrorists out terrorizing the city.
Tell me about some of these protests that you were covering, because I understand that some of them were cropping up in quite unusual places.
Right, yeah. So even rural parts of Iowa did see protests, you could call them. I would say when you got out, I went once to a small place called Grundy Center. And it was a group of around 25 people who were going to stand outside for 9 hours to commemorate George Floyd. And, you know, they had some people yelling at them as they drove, others, you know, stopping to talk. But when you do this in this sort of small communities of under 1,000, you get labeled and everybody knows who it is out there supporting these sorts of things. And we saw that various places throughout the state, small gatherings to have discussions. And we also saw, you know, some hate messages written on people's houses and various places in rural Iowa also.
What sort of interplay did this have with the pandemic? Do you feel like, so you mentioned that it helped to create the conditions for this to be big. So it didn't inhibit people from participating. How do you think this was affected by the bug?
I do think there might be the possibility that it inhibited some people from participating. I also think it helped create, you know, the sort of tension because of the bug. I mean, people here are or were pretty tense about being locked up. I think as time went on, what we found out is, you know, the protesters were framed and demonized by the authorities in ways that would have scared off many of these sort of Karen ladies that might have come out to support the protesters.
And I understand you got to know some of the leading lights of the local movement, including your friend Jalen Cavill, who was just sort of fell slightly short in his bid to become sheriff and then abolish the office of sheriff.
Yeah, Jalen Cavill is one of the local BLM activists here who might be most famous for being arrested because he told Todd Dykstra, one of the majors at the local police department, fuck you, at which point he was quickly arrested for disturbing the peace or whatever sort of made up hokey pokey Egyptian charges they can come up with. Jalen ran for sheriff on a platform of abolishing the sheriff's office with an end goal of totally dismantling the sheriff's department itself.
And do you know if he's going to make another run or is that it in mainstream politics?
It seems like Jalen will be somebody that's going to be around in politics for quite a long period of time. He might find his place outside of the sheriff's office, though.
And you mentioned another somebody that you knew that we talked about who is facing unjust charges for fucking around with a laser pen.
I think you're referring to a gentleman by the name of Matt Bruce, who is likely Iowa's number one domestic terrorist. He has been accused by some officers in Iowa City, Iowa, which is apparently supposed to be the liberal capital of Iowa. He has been accused of the police officers there of shining a laser pointer at his eyes and is facing 9 counts of felony assault on police officers, causing bodily injury. The consequences of that are 45 years in jail.
If our listeners would like to know more about this case or to support any kind of appeal on his behalf, is there anywhere you can direct them to?
I think the number one thing they could look at would be Des Moines BLM, which they would find on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all of those things.
So given that these were protests in large part triggered by police brutality, it's fair to say that the police haven't necessarily internalized this message because there's been a lot of brutality at these protests and perhaps even towards you.
If anybody had a question before, I think the police have confirmed what they were saying. I think one of my favorite chants that these young people had this summer was, "Why are you in riot gear? I don't see no riot here." They essentially now are arrested in Des Moines. If they march, they get arrested. So if you were to organize a protest march that marched in the street in Des Moines, you would be arrested as the leader for disorderly conduct.
Mm. By the way, we can cut this next bit if you want, but I understand that also in the course of dispatching your own professional duties, you were also banged up by some overzealous law enforcement. But I suppose perhaps this allowed you to be closer to protesters. Perhaps it's easier to trust media if they've also shared in some of the experience for protesters?
I think yes. I mean, I was arrested very early on in the protests on the evening of June 1st, early in the morning, June 2nd, while I was carrying out my duties as a photographer. Not only was I arrested, also one of the young writers for the Des Moines Register by the name of Andrea Sohori, whom was arrested and is continually still facing charges for failure to disperse. She is basically 6 months later still being prosecuted by the district attorney's office here. The extreme that they're willing to go through on here, it's been beyond my reasonable belief of what I would ever see in America.
Put it on and leave it on.
There's no such thing as a coronavirus.
The devastating result is that huge masses of heavy electricity start randomly falling out of wires and crashing onto anything below.
Well, that's very sensible, albeit hallucinatory advice.
It's a pack of lies. There's flu around or whatever.
So what would you say, all this here, that's fake news?
You're preying on losers.
This virus does not listen to stupidity.
You don't buy into all that one, do you? What you're doing there is you're drinking an advert.
It's a building of a new fascism, yeah, mate, run by the mega corporations and the mega rich.
You're not going to get away with this.
Oh, yeah.
It's not cool to be weird.
All right, so I've got a theory, right? This is my conspiracy theory. Like, fuck it, everyone else is starting one, right? I reckon Q from QAnon is actually Al Murray, the pub landlord, right? Because, do you remember, in the 2015 election, Al Murray, the pub landlord, stood against Nigel Farage in South Thanet, which is about a 20-minute drive from here. And he stood on a platform of 50p a pint and brick up the Channel Tunnel. And the idea was to make Big Nige look ridiculous by being an even more ridiculous version of Big Nige. And it worked. He came second. Like, Big Nige came second, didn't get in. And I reckon the pub landlord has pivoted from his success in South Thanet and gone underground for the last 3 years and knocked up this amazing guerrilla psyop of QAnon to get Trump out of the White House. And he's played a blinder again. You'll find out soon. The truth will come out soon. Nothing can stop what is coming.
I agree. It's an open question where the supporters of Trump go now that their leader, and Q as well. I mean, Q was, to the uninitiated, this White House insider who was documenting the struggles of Trump against the deep state, who were hell-bent on eating everyone's babies with... you know, a nice Chianti. And yeah. And now that Trump has...
Even though he was visibly on a golf course the whole time. Like, how many children can you defend if you're on a golf course? Anyway, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's but now that Trump has effectively conceded, although now he's conceded on that as well, but he's allowed this very nervous administrator of transitions to commence with a transition and making it clear that it was his call to allow this when the administrator said he had nothing to do with it. So, you know, that's a whole other shit show. But so he has sold out his supporters.
And presumably they think a whole load more children are about to be abused now that Trump is no longer there with his lightsaber to protect them from, like, the deep state Ian Huntleys and Sidney Cooks.
Don't have so heroes, QAnon followers. Don't have heroes. And because there'd already been a lot of talk about boycotting future votes, which...
They were trying to get people to boycott the Georgia runoff in protest, weren't they? That'd be good.
Which would decide control of the Senate and whether any sort of stimulus package might be allowed through that might... give people some possibility to survive. So yeah, it's an open question. But where the disillusioned ranks of Trumpites will go from here. I mean, there is a precedent with, for instance, the Obama birther myth, that he was not born in the US, that he was a Muslim, et cetera, et cetera. And so it doesn't matter how many times these zombie facts get shot down, they keep on lurching forward with intent. So probably the idea that the American election was stolen by the baby-eating deep state is here for good. I don't know if there's really much of a precedent for people snapping out of it. I think more often you get situations like when that cult leader in Korea massacred all his followers, or they all massacred themselves.
So I've done a teeny bit of digging around, and quite a lot of the Q drops that I've seen scrolling back through the last 6 months have actively prepared his followers for like a 50-state Trump landslide. But after November the 3rd, Q, the pub landlord, went quiet for about 9 days, and there's just shitloads of comments underneath it. Like, there's one bloke who just goes, Q, throw us a bone here. I mean, I guess the only mercy for these folks is that it'll be a while before they have to go to any dinner parties and like explain what they've been cocking on about for the last 3 years. So finally, Q, the pub landlord, piped up on November the 12th. That's 9 days after the election. And it just goes, more coming? Why is this relevant? How do you show the public the truth? How do you safeguard US elections post POTUS? How do you remove foreign interference and corruption and install US-owned voter ID laws and other safeguards? It had to be this way. Sometimes you must walk through the darkness before you see the light. Q. So that's a blow. But according to the International Center for the Study of Radicalization, which is this thing that's run out of the Department of War Studies at King's College London, this might not damage the movement particularly because, among other things, it started operating under the banner of Save Our Children. It had to stop Save the Children because the actual group Save the Children just publicly distanced itself from them. But this new Save Our Children thing has attracted a new demographic to the conspiracy. And this researcher called Annie Kelly has noted that the Save the Children rebrand has made it quite difficult to tell how many of these people are actually aware they've even got links to QAnon. So there are people who've been sucked in on Mumsnet or whatever, and they've had fuck all to do all day except, quite reasonably worry about their children's safety. And they've now just become so deeply embedded in this whirlwind of just hate and anti-Semitic blood-drinking bollocks that they're largely past caring what Q says or whether Trump gets re-elected. Like, it's not even about that anymore. So even if QAnon dies, its legacy is going to continue to make absolutely everything shit for years to come.
I suppose there's a gap in the market for Pied Piper types. So if this Q fellow is now discredited, anybody that wants to play Spartacus can now raise their claw. And just to end on a slightly upbeat note, we've just been sent in a communication by a friend of the program who we'll call E, that at a bug denial event in Germany, where a speaker compared herself to the resistance to the Nazis, a security guard went up to the stage, handed in his orange singlet and said, "For such bullshit, I do not make security," and then quit the job, making a powerful statement against nonsense.
Well, that's all, folks. Congratulations on making it this far. If you'd like to threaten us, you can do so concisely on Twitter. That's at BugRadio2020. Or if you'd like to go into some detail about the various pieces of torture equipment you'd like to use or the music you'd like playing in the background, you can email us on bugradio2020@gmail.com. We'll be back next week. As always, wash your hands and piss off.